Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Here's Kevin Stefanski, whatever. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, live in the Fan, 216-474-0092. I'll tell you this. You asked, what can you accuse Kevin Stefanski of? Explain that again.
Yeah, so I'm watching him on the sidelines yesterday, and I saw him have a fiery conversation after like the almost seventh could be maybe interception from Jameis Winston. And I saw him, like, you know, really trying to coach him. The game was over at that point. And then I thought to myself, well, he doesn't really do anything with the defense from what we've been told over the years.
What exactly do you do here?
And then now he's not calling the plays. So his work when it comes to that stuff in the offense is done throughout the week. On Sunday, he's down there on the sidelines, and we're still getting used to seeing him and kind of how he works operationally with the whole team. And so everybody I saw, you know, oh, we got to get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy. And I saw a lot of people saying that Stefanski is terrible yesterday, and he's had a god-awful year. There's no doubt. I mean, look at the record of the team. They're 2-7.
Yes.
I mean, no coach is doing a good job when they're 2-7. I was willing to put a lot on quarterback play, and yesterday, again, quarterback play was abysmal. But then I thought to myself, well, how do I hold the coach accountable? He is the coach. But specifically what I was seeing yesterday, what would you have him do differently as a head coach? Or is that work already done, you know, throughout the preseason, training camp, and Monday through Saturday?
What did you think of play calling? You don't make a big deal about play calling anyway, but what do you think of play calling? What did you think of it yesterday?
Play calling did not come to mind yesterday as an issue.
Well, first off, he's the head coach of the football team.
I just thought you had a horrible quarterback. Yeah. Well, you had some of the worst quarterback play in the NFL yesterday.
Well, there you go. Well, that's part of it. I mean, but
will never make any play calling look good.
The list is long and distinguished and sometimes undistinguished of head coaches who have been let go because of bad quarterback play. I mean, it's one after another.
And furthermore, one other point, they have no running game. So when your running
back, that's gonna be a problem too.
When your running back looks like a shell of what it was, and if there is a hole, and now that hole is gone.
Tone, that's why we're a month away from December. That's why in December, because this is going to continue. I don't know how much. I mean, I'm kind of back in the doldrums here. But especially because you're going to start trading guys, and it's all going to be bad. This is why I aim higher. If you want to go after him, I aim higher. What two-time coach of the year gets power taken away from them? What coach gets power taken away from them? Why? Why is that? Who makes that decision? Is it really the owner of the football team, or is it the guy who lives in San Diego on Zoom calls? I don't know. Is it the guy in San Diego? Is it Andrew? Who takes away the power? Two-time coach of the year, taking away the power. We're giving you less power. Wait a minute, we made the playoffs again. Yep, you got to bring in a different offensive coordinator here. Why? Well, we didn't like what Alex Van Pelt had to say about our $230 million quarterback to us. At least that's what, from what you've told me before. But you can accuse Kevin Stefanski of all of it, because what he becomes, if this is all true about they've taken away his play-calling ability and taken away his power and all the other things, if that's all true, then he just becomes a fall guy, a 2-7 fall guy for whatever is going on behind the curtain in the Wizard of Oz. That's all he is. So you can accuse him of anything that you want, Anthony, because that's what he's there for. That becomes his role. A guy that we can yell. It's the same thing I talk about with Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell goes out there during the draft, which we will be paying very close attention to this year, and he whoops it up with everybody, and he gets people to he basically does the Hulk Hogan to let people boo him. You know why? Because he's making $60 million a year, and that's what the owners pay him to be. They pay him to be a fall guy that everybody hates. And this is what Kevin Stefanski is becoming right in front of our very eyes. We went from genius of offense, genius of all the other things of putting together a team and managing people to, well, he has no power, and really he's the guy that's walking around on the sidelines that we boo. And you can tell that some of these decisions are not his decision, because again, why on earth would he be having such a meltdown all the time? Now, I didn't see his mannerisms yesterday. Maybe there was a meltdown or two. Did you see anything?
I would say just more fiery at times.
Okay. See it yesterday.
But no, there wasn't a ton. I mean, because again, they showed more of Ken Dorsey than they did of Kevin Stefanski yesterday.
Was there anything that he was more animated on that you've noticed in the past? Before this year.
There's been a number of instances.
This is the first year he's been animated and frustrated, right? Either A, it's all his decision, and that they just can't do it, which, who knows, he'll be the fall guy. I'm sure that's what they'll say at the end. Or B, he's getting power taken away from him, and he doesn't have any control over any of this stuff. Which one is it? You can argue with him that, well, you wouldn't do that. Well, you're not in his position, and I'm not in his position. I wouldn't want to do that. Because when things go bad, we tend to bring things in. We tend to insulate ourselves. We tend to focus on ourselves and focus on doing it by ourselves. Things aren't going well, and he handed off play calling ability. And your quarterback just didn't play well yesterday. Didn't see the field. Nathan commented on it several times yesterday that Jameis Winston wasn't seeing the field. Yeah, all right, if you're not seeing the field, you can only work so much magic, but that's it. That's all there is to it. And so you have a head coach that becomes now possibly a victim of terrible quarterback play all throughout this year. But again, people aren't going to care because, and frankly, I do care, but I think I got to go up higher. What does the guy in San Diego do here other than collect praise whenever they're doing good and completely disappear when things are going bad? Excuse me, he was at the game against Cincinnati. I did see him. There were several pictures of him taken on the sidelines because Andrew Berry's there every single week. People don't feel that they need to take screenshots of him there on the sidelines. The owners are there every single week. No, I mean, People don't need to do it. But when DePaul DiBenedetto shows up, why do you got to take a bunch of pictures of him?
I'm not even really thinking of him. I mean, I thought it was pretty telling last year.
Why wouldn't you?
The reason is down in West Virginia. I mean, we went over this last week that they went out of their way. Jimmy Haslam did to say that he was not signing an extension. And, you know, I've heard rumors that a role could change there. So he's not the one I'm thinking of. I'm wondering, okay. A week ago, everybody made it clear that they thought, okay, well, the fact that we're going to get normal quarterback play the rest of the year based on beating the Baltimore Ravens and what Jameis did, that Barry was going to be back and also Stefanski. Now that we're back to bottom basement quarterback play, I mean, if I were making a prediction now, I would say both of them would be gone.
I could give you a...
So, what do you think?
Well, if we're week by week with these guys, what's that tell you? If we're week... Well, hey, he could stay. He could go. That means they're probably going to be on their way out.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of brought that up last week.
When it comes to...
when people said that it calmed all of that speculation, I'm like, if we are going at this based on, oh, they won this week, so now that calms everything and... You know, keeps the dogs off. I mean, they're probably going to be gone.
As of right now, I can give you a bunch of arguments why Kevin would stay, but it's November 4th, and I don't want to look silly coming up on November 17th. The other part of it is with Andrew Berry, you have to ask yourself, do you trust him to execute these picks, not just make these trades? He's made decent enough trades. He got a return for Amari Cooper, and everybody did Champions Pose. But other than that, you look at some of the draft picks that have been made, and again, they started DeJuan Jones, their fourth-round right tackle. They started him at left tackle yesterday in front of a healthy Jed Wills, who was number 10 overall. Does the fourth rounder cancel out the number 10 overall? Maybe it does. Maybe it does. But the best thing about it is, or maybe the worst thing about it is, we have a couple of months to argue that. We only have a few hours to argue about who stays and who goes. So now, this is surprising to me, and it's almost becoming overwhelming to me. Because the problems, you brought in the Kevin Stefanski problem, and now the problems are too numerous to have any time to even discuss. Like, I don't know where to start, I don't know where to finish, and the only place I know where to go is back to the beginning. That's it, Tone. I mean, good God, you just threw another heap and help and a slop right in my lap here that I got to get figured out. I mean, hell, I'm trying to look towards the future, and what did you just, you got me to be very, very angry about possibilities of the past and possibilities of the right now, and here I am trying to put on a smiley face and looking forward to 2025, 26, and beyond.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Dan Campbell talking about Za'Darius Smith. He is on his way to the Detroit Lions. Well, he's probably in Detroit by now. It's not our concern anymore. The Browns got a couple of draft picks back, later round draft picks. They might have been looking for a fourth round pick, weren't going to get it. So they got a fifth round pick next year. Question is whether or not Andrew Berry is going to be around to execute those picks. And if we were doing an election right now for Andrew Berry, I think he'd probably fail that election right now for a lot of Browns fans out there. Doesn't seem to look very good. Doesn't seem to look very good whatsoever. And, you know, when you start to break this down, audio courtesy of Dan Campbell with Dan Miller's show on Fox 2 Detroit about some of the conversation. And you and I, we had some people, there are people who are huge Andrew Berry fans. You mentioned it as a gag right before break about are the Browns in a better situation now that they were in 4 years ago. You know, part of the gag. We have some media members out there that are huge Andrew Berry fans. Now, personally, I'm an Andrew Berry fan. I like the guy. Professionally, there's a lot of things here that I have to ask, where is it going to get better? Where can we get better from here, and are you the right guy for the future of this franchise to make these decisions? And I know, and this is part of it, a lot of this is going to come down to, well, who ordered the code red about Deshaun Watson? And we've been through that several times. And because of our very strong belief, because there have been so many people who have told Anthony and I that it was spearheaded by the front office that doesn't include the ownership that really, really liked the former quarterback and had to be talked out of it, that there might be a fiddler to pay here, a heavy price, and that might be on his head. And so now, because of that, in a season that is blown up right in our faces, this is a big picture conversation I didn't even know if I was going to even get into. But when you make these decisions like you've made, can you be trusted to make the future decisions for the football team with the draft?
I'm not trusting him to make future draft picks, but I am surprised they did not.
I have to say no.
I am surprised they did not make more trades. It felt like a quarter measure yesterday because they didn't do anything.
That leads me to speculation.
Yeah, they didn't really do anything to set themselves up. Basically, they are saying that they still are in a championship window. They still believe that these guys, even though they're old and expensive, because we know what other teams do. When other teams get old and expensive and they're bad, which is the perfect storm, it's a fire sale. Well, not only did they not do a fire sale, they only traded one guy. So that is telling me that they are trying to tell you that they think they can compete at a very high level next year.
Daryl had the
big... And I find that a little hard to believe.
See, I don't know if that's 100% true, because Daryl had the great big cap warning for everybody that when he was trying to talk everybody into fiscal responsibility about everything, saying that, hey, this is not the type of situation you guys think it is, that they still owe a lot on cap even after they trade guys.
Sure.
That there's so much dead cap
space. But now they don't get the assets. Now they just have the big credit card payment, but they don't have the draft
picks. And this is another thing. Because Andrew Berry's job. Now, I don't know what was offered. I have no idea what's been offered. Maybe we'll find out that they were offering second rounders for Elijah Moore out there or anything
I do not think second round.
But Andrew Berry does have the job to do what's supposed to be what's right for the franchise. Not just make a bunch of trades on picks that he might be able to get this year. Because if you let guys walk, usually you get them the next year for those compensatory picks. So I don't believe they'd be coming until 2026. All right, so is it better to let these guys go in free agency and collect compensatory picks that could end up being a third rounder or a fourth rounder instead of taking your fifth, sixth, seventh for pennies on the dollar for guys that you draft? I mean, you drafted Greg Newsome in the first round. You traded for Elijah Moore. It was a pick swap in a lot of ways. So many of the Andrew Berry fans always want to say that. And certainly, we got to give him every credit we can to make any sort of an argument that we can for the guy. The other trades that you've made, some have been good. Some of the draft picks you've made have been very bad. But there are people out there that make this vigorous defense. And I have to speculate, could there have been a conversation had of like, hey, man, you make this trade. I don't know if I trust him. Like, could the ownership have thought, I don't know if I trust you to make any more of those trades, or is that too much?
Well,
because, man, if we're going to have a fire sale, I kind of want to trust the people making the fire sale, and I don't know if I trust altogether, man. It's a difficult thing when you're 2-7, you start to think about some crazy stuff.
Yeah, but they allowed him to trade Amari Cooper. They allowed him to trade Za'Darius Smith. You have to still be able to do your job. I don't know that they've made up their mind on Andrew Berry, and so you have to let him do the job. And what I wonder is, what is Andrew Berry telling the Haslams about the state of the team? Because they have those meetings. They want to be briefed at all times, especially now. And now you go into a bye week. We're going to hear from Andrew Berry later today at 10:30.
Yes.
Right? We're going to air that live.
Live on the air. 10:30 a.m. 9:30
The Fan. All right. You can also hear it on the Odyssey app.
On the Fan.
So given that, I wonder what the conversations are between Andrew Berry and Jimmy Haslam. Because Jimmy Haslam's got to be saying, so what do we want to do in terms of a pivot so that we can get the high draft picks and get this thing righted to where we can compete quicker than having like a 4-year teardown? So we're not doing that.
Do you believe that they should have traded more?
Well, Greg Newsome.
That we're further away than what we are?
Greg Newsome is the interesting one. I thought that was going to be an easy trade candidate because I think he did have some value. Not the value I think some Browns fans were hoping.
But maybe they just let him walk because maybe you can get a third round compensatory pick.
Yeah, I find that very interesting. Maybe the teams weren't that desperate. Man, you didn't see a lot yesterday in the way of big trades. So that's another one. When the David Njoku stuff came up, I mean, Zach Jackson came on and said David Njoku's basically washed. He said, have you seen him run? He is did not paint a flattering picture of David Njoku. So I'm like, all right.
He's played injured. I don't know if he called him washed up, but he certainly said he's been playing injured.
Yeah, it did not seem like Zach had a lot of confidence that's going to be somebody who should be in the future of our plans. So when you start to think about that, you know, you think about who has value and who's going to be around when this team turns it around. Unless Andrew Berry's like, we can be really good next year. And if that's the case, he also told Jimmy Haslam, we could be really good this year. And they're 2-7. So did that erode some of the faith in the GM at that point? And he's going to be hammered. I mean, today he's going to be hammered with those questions.
He should be. How could you not be? Lord Almighty, again, this was a playoff team last year. And by all intents and purposes, people believe that it should have been a playoff. At least in Cleveland, they felt they should have been a playoff team again. And they're not just bad. It feels like this is going to be a multiple-year rebuild for some. And some people are actually advocating for it. I'm sorry. He has to go out and he has to answer those. I'm not sorry. You have to go out and you have to answer those questions. Why did this go wrong? Where did it go wrong? And how are you going to go about getting this thing fixed? And why weren't there more moves made if we're going to go about and get this thing fixed? Because I don't think that anybody would advocate right now. You know, last year I made a great big argument for Greg Newsom. I'll finish with this. I made an argument for Greg Newsom to finish last season with the Browns. I can't make that argument now because you still have a guy. Are you going to sign him? No. Do you believe that you're going to sign him to a big deal? No. So what are you going to really get back
maybe
for the guy?
Maybe they will.
What are you doing with Jed Wills, by the way, after this year?
Ken,
we haven't talked about him. I'm not even talking about trading
him. Maybe Jim Schwartz has said, I want him. I want him as part of this defense. Maybe they do sign him, but I think they missed their window. They could have gotten much more value for him
if they had traded him last time. Another person around the Browns that has more power, apparently, from what you just said than the head coach of the Browns. I stepped aside for that because I ruined the last one and I shouldn't have done that, and I'm glad you asked that question.
Well, the only reason I ask about Justin Fields, obviously, is we are wondering how close we really are. And it was a big conversation at the start of the show. The Browns only traded one guy, and I said, that's kind of bizarre the way that NFL teams operate when they're 2-7, old, and expensive. Those teams always start trading guys, and they start getting draft picks because they want to become young and inexpensive.
Yeah.
But you did make the case about comp picks, and you still got Myles Garrett. He's really good.
Well,
you still got Denzel Ward.
You're still supposed
He's
to have
really
this
good.
Dead money on this cap, and I'm thinking, well, do you want to just trade these guys and get the picks? Yeah, but if you're paying for nothing, like, is this year really the year you trade them? Like, I can't believe I'm saying that. Do I, like, it does, so many people are going to think that's stupid. And maybe it is at first blush. But do you want to trade him now? Or do you want to see what you can do for one more year with him? And it sounds like I'm dragging this problem out even further. But because there's going to be dead cap on top of it, it's like, well, if you're paying him, they might as well work for you. Does that make any sense to you? Like, all right, I could pay him to go away, or I could pay him to work for me. And if we put a different quarterback back there, you know, maybe they can be a wild card team. Maybe they can.
Yeah. Well, any team.
Maybe I'll have an arm grow out of my ass. I don't know.
Kenny,
I'm just pointing
crazy.
It out to you, Tone.
That's not crazy at all. There are going to be some bad teams this year that are in the wild card next year.
Okay.
That's how this thing works. That's what happened with, well, Houston wasn't a wild card last year. They ended up winning their division.
Do you take Justin Fields? I mean, let's go down the list if you want to. We should have Mitch come up with a list. I mean, how many guys out there are out there now that you would go, yeah, he gives us a serious chance. If he starts at the beginning of the year, he gives us a chance to go to the playoffs. That would be available. How many guys? Can you name any? Is Justin Fields a guy who gives you a realistic shot to go to the playoffs if he starts week one?
I am a lot more down on Fields than I was, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's
how
tough
that goes.
Because, and then when you hear Pony say, well, not good under center, not good turning his back to the defense. Boy, it sounds like the stuff that we were worried about with Deshaun Watson. And that would mean that one thing we do know is if Justin Fields is here next year, it's not going to be this Kevin Stefanski offense. That is not going to happen.
Okay.
So does that mean maybe Justin Fields with a new head coach?
Oh, geez. Here we go again.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
But I'm not going to prioritize that. I'm not going to get rid of a coach that's been good for Justin Fields. He's not good enough for me to make that change at head coach to pacify a guy that I don't even know if he's a starter in the NFL. Do we know? Is Justin Fields a starter in the NFL?
I don't know.
At this stage of the game?
Okay, then let's go down the list again. What about Michael Penix? What would you trade for him? I don't think Kirk Cousins letting go of that job anytime soon. Does he see? Does it seem like that to you guys? Anybody interested in a Michael Penix?
I don't know. What should I be thinking about Michael Penix?
With the goal that they are making the playoffs next year?
He's got a lot of... that you have to... Guys, if you're going to have these players on this team because of the contracts, you might as well try to do something with them. So that means, I guess, we're trying to be a lot... I can't even say it without... I can't say it and mean it in the same sentence. So what am I supposed to do here?
Yeah, the problem... The Penix, I'll be a little unfair on this, is because the last time I needed him to play well...
Oh, that's totally unfair.
It is unfair.
That's totally
but
unfair.
But it also was the only game he had pressure on him, and he was dreadful. He looked like he didn't belong. And that's one thing that... I know that's stupid to look at one game. You would never do that as an evaluator.
Many of people do.
But
many
man,
of people do.
And I think of him against
Michigan.
I don't
agree with it.
And I'm like, you look like you didn't belong on the same field in that national championship game.
Well, it looked like most of the team didn't belong on the same field in that national championship game. They did have two good offensive linemen, at least
two
good.
They
had a good offensive line. And they had Roma Dunze on that wide receiver core, who was one of the best, who was arguably the best in college football last year. I think some Ohio State fans would beg to differ. Mm-hmm. And I'd probably agree, but arguably, it's an arguable thing. One of the best wide receivers in college football. Either way, I mean, that's the pickings right now. Unless you want to talk about other guys, and I'm sure there will be plenty of other people. So then it becomes, okay, should we just pay the fiddler now and should we just blow it up? Well, you already had half of it happen or part of it happen because of the trade deadline. You will have opportunities to move people before the draft comes around because the new league year will start before the draft. All right, well, you have to make difference. You have to make changes or decisions on changes of philosophy by the time that comes around. So, yeah, I guess the question is, should the Browns just blow the damn thing up at the end of the year? 216-474-0092. I want to give you an argument, other than the cap, of why they shouldn't. But if the cap is such a demonic thing, which I know what I've said about the cap many times, I still feel that way. If it's such a thing that keeps us from doing anything, all right, fine. Then I guess put them to work for you. They're your players. They sell jerseys. They put people in the stands. People like them. They like Myles Garrett. They like your offensive linemen as individuals right now. I think as a group, it hasn't been that good. Defensively, there's some guys there that people like. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I just
put
don't
them
know.
Out there to work again.
I just don't know who's going to be on this team.
You're going to have to find a different quarterback.
I don't know who's going to be on this team anyway. I mean, is Petonio on this team next year? Is Wyatt Teller on this team next year?
Petonio could very well retire. But Wyatt Teller could very like, but you're.
So
I can't guarantee that
fooling,
next year.
Are we fooling ourselves all the way
more
around?
More than likely. But I'm in a situation now where if I bring in a rookie quarterback, if I trade a bunch of players and I bring in a rookie quarterback, I'm not going to have the roster to support the rookie quarterback. But if I keep those players and I bring in a rookie quarterback, I might be able to better support the rookie quarterback. But it might just take me to this level to where I need other players that are going to help that rookie quarterback really ultimately succeed. And if I only have these players that can help me get to this level, then it feels like I'm just spinning my wheels. Or he's not going to be able to properly develop. So yeah, you're in a real conundrum. And I know we make this way harder than it needs to be because it's just like, hey, you know what? Sometimes you just take Jaden Daniels and you end up doing well. Most of the time you don't, though. And so you have to know how to do this. And in team management, team building, they've acted very desperately here over the last couple of years. And I've had to support it because you had to act desperately. Well, now the bill's just about due on all these guys. But if you're going to have these guys here at the end of this season, then yeah, I mean, unless somebody comes in and makes a godfather offer and then you know things can be designated after the post-June 1st with some of the other guys out there, like you're still going to be in such arrears because of the quarterback's contract, you're going to be still in a lot of trouble. That's why I still keep telling people, guys, you're going to draft a quarterback because he's the only one that you can get people behind that are going to believe whatsoever. They're not going to believe any of the... Is Justin Fields going to sell any tickets for Browns fans?
No. No, I don't think that's going to deliver.
Maybe if you were that big of an Ohio State fan.
Even then.
Okay, so there you go. Because you're the biggest Ohio State fan I know right now, and you're even doing it.
I think there'd be just some general excitement because they'll try to sell you on a dual quarterback, can run, can pass. But I just think there's so many warts there on his resume that we've seen, and he really has not gotten better.
So
nothing I saw in Pittsburgh led me to believe he's evolved or gotten better at the game.
So no Justin Fields, Michael Penix makes you kind of meh. Anybody else that you can think of off the top of your head? No? Yes? Anybody? Anybody at all? Anybody in the room? Anybody in the sausage closet? Is there any fake Cowboy fan in there who wants to say anybody? Okay, so that's where we're at.
Well, Dak Prescott
it's
might be
around the room.
Dak might be available.
Okay, that's two expensive quarterbacks that people say can't play the position.
I know.
Now, I'd much rather have Dak than Deshaun Watson.
Well,
but
Dak would be a massive upgrade over what you were getting out of Deshaun.
He's a great regular season quarterback.
Well, right now you have a guy who threw three picks the other day, and he's still an upgrade over what you had with Deshaun.
Yeah.
That is not a feather in Deshaun Watson's cap. I got two quarterbacks that, when they don't play well, make my offense look bad. But I think that that's part of the conversation that the Browns have to have. All right, if I get a better quarterback back there that can be any bit more consistent than any of these other guys, will my offense be any good? Well, it was good, but it was only good for one game against Baltimore. Well, here we are having the same damn conversation that we had all last offseason. We took the one half against Baltimore last year and wrote it out for the rest of the offseason and said that might be where he picks up from. And it didn't happen. All right, am I going to take one half again or one game against Baltimore and say that might be where the rest of the offense picks up from? And we talk about all different philosophies and all different players, all these other different machinations, and you still end up in the same nasty boat. And I think a lot of fans would go, guys, what are you talking about? Just blow that damn thing up. It's just not that simple. Before, in 2016, it was simple. You had guys coming off the contracts. You could blow it up. Now, I don't know where to begin because I don't know where all the other contracts finish. I don't know where all the dead cap is going to be. And it's going to be more, it might be better for the Browns. Like, if you use the end-all, be-all player, Myles Garrett, right? There would be cap that you would have hit on you because of the dead cap. Is it better to just play Myles Garrett and have him be the cornerstone of your franchise, have him be the player that everybody loves, knowing that you're going to take a quarterback and maybe be a somewhat competitive team, hopefully? Or do you just want to pay the fiddler, not have him play on your football team, have dead cap, and then not be able to have a great defense to help out the quarterback you're going to take anyway?
But what's funny is the teams that have done some of that stuff, Washington, they traded away their high-priced, big-name, good defensive players, and they're better. They've gotten better, and they did it in record time. Houston traded all their high-priced guys. They got better in record time. Younger in the NFL is getting better these days. It's not the league that we used to remember when we were younger.
Andrew Berry talked to the media yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, before we even play the audio, you had your first parole hearing yesterday. The Watson era is over. It is officially done. Now, the contract ain't done. Him being on the field, that's done. That's done. Book it, write it down, whatever. You gave the man a $230 million guaranteed contract. I know, start to play the violins. You gave up three first-round picks. I know, again, play the violins and the oboes. We've sung the song many times. And when asked about Deshaun Watson in his future, this is what the general manager, one of the guys who spearheaded this move, this is what he had to say yesterday.
Given the resources that you placed into bringing Deshaun here from the draft capital to the contract, the way you've talked about Deshaun in terms of being a guy that's here for several contracts, given health, given that he's healthy, why can't you commit to him still being the quarterback of the future here?
Yeah, I'd say this. Our focus, again, organizationally, is like on making sure that he gets healthy. Just the reality of it is with any season-ending injury, there is some uncertainty in terms of the recovery, and so our focus is on making sure that he gets healthy, and then we can move from there.
So a decision on his future would be more so based on health as opposed to what you've seen on the field in terms of performance?
No, I'd say this. Again, our focus is on getting him healthy, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, what'd that tell you? What'd that tell you?
That's not a commitment.
That is not a commitment. We're focused on getting him healthy. Yeah, everybody's focused on getting healthy. It's life.
We're already
focused on getting everybody healthy.
Yeah, they're already talking about him drastically different than they did a year ago.
Yes, that's it. Last year when he hurt his shoulder, we're getting him back on the field in 2024.
And they were talking about extensions.
Yes. That's what this was talked about.
Like they were.
I mean, he did not commit to a damn thing. And usually he doesn't try to. I understand that he doesn't try to tell you anything. It was pretty easy to say that Deshaun Watson is going to be back in 2024 last year. And I think anybody could have probably, unless you just hated Deshaun Watson, anybody could understand that. But it goes even further because he was asked point blank about the possibility of Deshaun Watson coming back in 2025. And again, survey says.
Is there a world in which Deshaun Watson can come back here and play more football for you guys again?
Yeah, I think that's always possible.
Yeah, anything's possible. That's always possible. There's no guarantee in there. There's no nothing. Guys, you're done. We're done. It's over.
Yeah, you didn't even get a yes there. You'll just pay a fiddler. Simple one-word yes.
You will pay on the contract. We won't pay on it. They will pay on it, and it'll hang over our heads. So we're not out of jail. We're not out of Browns prison. We have to go back to our cell because there's still a season left to play here, and there's still that contract that's over. But you just had your first parole hearing. So as we make our Shawshank Redemption jokes about being in Browns prison, you just had your first one with Red there in front of the board. That's what that was. That's exact. That was Andrew Berry talking to all the people, and we are Red, the media, and Andrew are the parole board, and that's what you got.
Yeah, because he could have, Kenny. He could have just said yes, yes, yes. He'll be back here. Yes, those would have been very easy responses to any of those questions that technically he could just put off, or maybe he won't even be here when all is said and done to have to respond to the things he had said earlier.
So
but he didn't do that.
In comparison, this is Berry from last January.
This is from January.
Okay, away we go.
We'd all love to have him on the field more often. I think that's safe to say, himself included. Do feel really good about him. Happy with the progress that he's made within our organization, both on the field and off the field. And we're looking forward to getting him back next year. You know, we think he's going to have a really big year and have a ton of confidence in him as our starting quarterback.
Night and day.
Because about Andrew, he won't lie to you. He will not put himself in a lie if he can help it. He will not do it. But he just won't tell you the truth. He did not tell us what he did not come out and say, no, he's not going to play for the Cleveland Browns. Of course, he's not going to do that.
No.
But I mean, they gave him every opportunity to try to say, yeah, you know, we got to see what we have coming. No, no, no. And the headlines all over CBS, The Athletic, ESPN, Fox Sports, all the headlines. Browns general manager noncommittal about Watson in 2025. Yeah, because he ain't coming back. He ain't having him back. That is a broken quarterback. That is a broken soul, and you're not going to put him back out there on the football field. That's just not going to happen. And it scares me, and it should scare Andrew Berry. It should scare everybody. It's like, hey, man, you guys were the ones who went out and got him, and the owner ain't going to fire himself. That ain't going to happen. So you're one of the ones that spearheaded this deal. Okay. That's on your head. That's still a lot of money. Still a lot of things that we have to go through on a guy that is not going to play for your football team. That's done. It's over. So at least you guys can move on, and we can move on from that, because that just told me unless we are in dire straits next year, and we may very well be in dire straits, he ain't going to be back on the field. That's done. And I'm not getting any pushback whatsoever from anybody in the peanut gallery or anybody in this room. No pushback from anybody there?
I think
there.
It was pretty cut and dry. They are not talking about him in the same way. I mean, even the way he went to say, oh, off the field and on the field, they were still fighting those battles. Like, hey, he's a model citizen. He's a captain. He's a leader of the team. Is any of that stuff resonating
right now? The captaincy
they
took away from a guy that people actually look up to and fans
Chubb.
Really love, and Nick Chubb, yeah. Too, by the way, which that always goes over really well in a locker room there. So there you go. So it's not even that. I'm not even saying this is the beginning of the end. This is the end. It's over. It's over. So when you don't say things, and he's made a living off of not telling us, he's even made jokes. Like, you guys ask questions and I don't answer them. That told us everything we needed to know at 2-7.
And by the way, you can get away with that when you're going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
When you're one of the worst teams in football and people are wondering if this needs an entire teardown, the fans are not going to be nearly as joking and laughing about that kind of stuff as they would be.
What can Andrew Berry do to save his job? If anybody has any ideas, let us know. We are open to good ideas.
Well, I think the first thing he's going
to... I am discovering a few.
Okay, the first thing I would say is it's not something that fans are going to necessarily care about, but don't you think the first thing is convincing Jimmy Haslam that they are not in the state of affairs that so many people think they are. I think, was it Mark Ross recently came on our station? Yeah. You've had other people, either former personnel guys around the league or GMs, they've said, man, the Browns are in a brutal spot with the cap situation, just considering where they're at with dead money and they're older. That normally does not bode well. So he has to now convince Jimmy Haslam that they're not in some untenable spot, that they can turn it around.
Do you think he thinks he's in jeopardy?
How could he not?
Well, you know,
he knows their record.
Mary Kay brought up that the only thing that was definitive from him yesterday was that Kevin Stefanski is going to be the head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like everything else, he talked around every other subject, specifically Deshaun Watson and his future with the team. There's always been this, they got their extensions together, they're tied together type of thing. I don't know. He didn't come off to me as a guy who thought that his future was in jeopardy at all yesterday. He didn't. Those guys start answering a little more definitively, don't they?
Boy, I wonder. I'd love to go back now and listen to John Dorsey before things got really messy at the end.
Well, those wheels fell off quick.
It did happen so fast that I just think sometimes these guys do get blindsided by it. And think about it this way. Like, Jimmy Haslam might be telling him...
All he had to do was not hire Freddie Kitchens as head coach. I'm telling you guys, it's as simple as that.
So Jimmy might be...
Whoop the hell.
In their conversation, in their reporting, or any time that Andrew Berry briefs ownership on where the team is and how they're on a certain path or whatever, even with whatever setbacks the 2-7 mean to them, I'm sure that Jimmy... Is all right, okay. Like he's not going to go, well, you need to get to this or we're firing you. That's not really how it works. It's just you're trusted, you're a confidant until you're not, until you get blindsided, until somebody else ends up climbing over you. In the NFL front office, that happens all the time with power struggles. Now, I've wondered out loud, if these guys are all thought partners, if they're all on the same page, if they're all collaborating, if they're all making decisions. I'm putting my hands together repeatedly
for the camera. I'm looking the other way.
The four previous seasons, wasn't Paul D. Podesta in some sort of role that was above him?
That's why.
Even if they weren't, technically his boss, it always felt, and he's been told since Greenbrier at least, because we asked him saying that Paul would be transitioning to a new role.
Yeah.
So why would he not think, well, I'm the power guy now?
Well, Why do you think I'm mad when you basically absolve him of his responsibility?
If Paul was the architect, I'm just throwing out one theory. If Paul was the architect of the Deshaun Watson trade.
The building's coming in.
Given how substantial that trade was, and then you hear in the offseason that he's not being extended, but your GM and your coach are. I mean, just do the math on that. Like, you can be a great thought partner. You can be a trusted executive within any corporation. But if there's a move where you had the faith in the owner, and then that move turns out to be what people are calling the worst move in NFL history, don't you think you lose
your
some
fans,
trust?
Everyone.
Yeah. Even if the 10 things you've done before that were excellent, but then you have a blunder like this where you have executives now going on radio stations saying, yeah, I don't know how the Browns are going to dig themselves out of this. That's a catastrophic move. Like, you're just going to lose trust. That's going to happen in any relationship.
You said earlier that you would separate from Andrew Berry. Have you calmed down now, or do you still believe the same?
I think I would. I think this organization is now going to be in need of, especially if they're all calling themselves thought partners, and it's leading to this, and it's leading 5 years later to what I believe to be. This is my take. I've heard others totally disagree with me. I don't think they have enough young talent, and the only way to do that is the draft, and I don't trust this guy to go to the draft. Like, they can do more shortcut moves. Andrew Berry's done a bunch of shortcut moves, not just Deshaun Watson. You know, the way they retool the line every year is a shortcut move. They did not put together a running back room worthy of the AFC North and the Cleveland Browns this year. They just didn't. Zach Jackson has been all over that. They've gotten older in free agency. In fact, two of the guys that you brought in free agency, one was supposed to be a special teams maven, another was supposed to be on the defensive line. Neither of them are today playing football for the Cleveland Browns. Those are the moves on the margins that the smart really good front offices used to really take the team to the next level. And last year they did some of that. They also got really lucky. The kicker, that was luck, right? Having Kareem Hunt still be available, that was luck. And he had happened to be here before and from here, and he lived here. So that was easy. Like, they made Joe Flacco not having a job, that was luck. Imagine if they didn't have Joe Flacco last year. I don't look at those moves as savvy front office moves. I looked at those as, hey, they got lucky. I'm glad they made those moves. And we gave Barry some credit. I just don't want to give him a ton of credit, because if none of those guys were even available, you'd have been screwed. This team would have missed the playoffs. And then last year was a big reason, a feather in the cap for the organization and the head coach. In all reality, a year later, was that because of a savvy front office, or did they just get lucky? I tend to think they just got lucky and caught a heater, you know, at the right time. Remember, those players weren't even at Greenbrier. They weren't even a part of this team to start the year. So I think the proof is in the pudding that this front office, they need a fresh perspective, a fresh angle. And it's tough to do that without cleaning house.
What scares me, though, is that, you know, my whole focus is, what do you replace them with? You have to get better. So you can't just get mad. Like, people get mad and they go, I want them fired. Yeah. Okay, well, what are you going to replace them with? I know everybody's pissed, but what are you going to do to fix it? And just firing them ain't the answer, because you got to have somebody there.
Well, the answer is who you hire. Yes, yeah, but I agree with
done,
you there.
My issue is, my fear is, what they've done is they've completely, it's been a giant pendulum from one extreme to the other. Like, when Sashi Brown was let go, they brought in John Dorsey. John Dorsey talks about real football players, and John Dorsey is a man's man. And I like John Dorsey a ton. But John's fatal flaw, and I mean that in this sense, is that he wanted control. He wanted power. I think his ego got involved with Kansas City, where he was let go in Kansas City. They've gone on to tremendous things. Brett Veach has been given a lot of credit, and so has Andy Reid. And John Dorsey made some damn fine choices for that organization and has never really gotten the credit that he deserves nationally from the general talk show host, pundit, whatever. From insiders and stuff, there's people go, man, John really knows how to pick some players. He's picked a couple of boobs, but so does everybody. He knows how to pick some football players. And what John has done best is, John has been able to mix some of the stuff where you do have some numbers being brought through, but also emotions. Guys who, because we've argued about whether or not momentum's real. Momentum's 100% real if you stand on a sideline of any level of football. And he was able to find some of those guys later on that would help. But then he picked Freddie to be the head coach. Freddie was a disaster because he wanted his power, and then John was gone. And they went back to Paul DePodesta, very, very, very cerebral thinking. There is no such thing as momentum. There is no such thing as emotions here. And then you end up picking guys that aren't good fits for your locker room, signing guys who aren't good fits for your locker room, guys who I have to say are locker room cancers over the past few years. And you've been able to, with some of the picks, get through that, but now I think the chickens are coming home here. And again, you're falling into the same problems that you fell into before with Baker Mayfield. It's taxing on a guy. Like, somebody asked me, this is at the Bengals game, and they go, do some of the guys not like him? I go, there's definitely going to be some guys who don't care for him, and we've talked about that on the air. Why? Because of the type of guy he is? I go, no. I go, it's a workplace. It's the same thing that's happened with him that happened with Baker. You get tired of being asked whether or not you think your quarterback sucks. And that is what has been just drowning them from the years of Baker. And he had a good year. He had a couple good years here. And then this has been with Deshaun Watson. Last year, did anybody have to ask whether or not Joe Flacco was good? They knew Joe Flacco's pedigree. And then he came out and he played pretty well. And they didn't have to be asked that question, because it was like, I can't believe you guys are winning any of these games. So it's such a surprise. And their culture was great. Now you're being asked again whether or not your quarterback is even going to be here next year, and whether or not you think he sucks. In not so many words, but really whether or not you think he sucks. That kills a culture. And it's based on what they did. Like, I look at that 2023 draft, guys. I mean, Siaki Ika is a miss. In the third round, that is not good. Don't get me wrong. But DeJuan, we'll see more of Isaiah McGuire. Look good on special teams. Has looked good when he's been on the field. DTR is a backup. Maybe he'll be a starter for a few games here and there during his career. I do not have as much faith in DTR as what some people make it out to be. I think they just want something to believe in. I think that's unfair to DTR. Cam Mitchell's good, and if Luke Whipler could stay healthy, God bless him, maybe he'd be all right. But
Ken,
is that enough? Is that enough?
You're mentioning, guys, look at what Detroit and Brad Holmes have been able to do over the last few years.
And look at the
Owens, Kansas City Chiefs,
but
what they have done in the draft the last few years. Guys, it crushes what the Browns have done.
And
I know we didn't have the first round picks.
And
I get that.
Yes.
But that's part of the story.
And I get what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying. But what Detroit has done is, I mean, this was a time, you had a point where the owner had to go out there and hold a press conference out in their facility and give the terrible, was it Sheila Ford, had to give the terrible vote of confidence to Dan Campbell because they started off 1-6 and people thought that he was gone. It was year two and people thought that he was gone. And now they're competing for a Super Bowl this year. They stayed the course. Jared Goff ended up being, they were able to take care of him because he's been proven. If you could actually, and I know this is crazy, coach a player and be with a player, not just say, well, if he can't put it on autopilot and we can't just go out and win, then he sucks and we have to go find somebody else. But, you know, actually have coaches that can coach the guy. You find out you're a pretty good franchise. And then you can take guys and you don't have to put everything on them to be able to buoy your franchise if things go poorly. And remember, they were in some tough spots. They were in some really tough spots on that football team. I mean, Aaron Glenn, they wanted him fired 2 years in a row. They wanted Aaron Glenn let go. And they held on to Aaron Glenn, and he's looked better with their defense over these last couple of years. By the way, look who Ben Johnson, they're going to make him a head coach at some point here. We'll find out whether or not he can manage people. You know who's an assistant quarterback coach on that roster, on that coaching staff? You know who's an assistant quarterback coach on this? You ain't going to guess it.
No.
No, I know you ain't going to guess
idea.
It. JT Barrett's an assistant quarterback coach on that coaching staff. Mark Brunell is a quarterback coach on that coaching staff. You're helping out Jared Goff, a guy who has talent. You know has talent. And now they're able to go out and they're doing it. Like we always focus on, well, we get the quarterback and he just has to figure it out. And then if he sucks, he sucks and we just move on. Got to be able to have those guys. And it still goes back to, did Alex Van Pelt say something that people didn't want to hear at the wrong time? Is that why? Because I know Alex Van Pelt did a pretty good job with Baker when Baker wasn't injured.
And that's how that works, right?
He did a pretty damn good job with Joe.
That's how it works, though. When a guy tells you things like he's beyond solving, then they got to get rid of you because you're the easy guy to get rid of in that case.
You might have said the wrong thing at the wrong time.
216-474-0092. It's Spencer German, G. Bush, in with you this morning until 10 a.m. filling in for the guys. We are going to get here back into the Browns conversation a little bit, but also coming up, big one for the Cavs tonight. Is this their first chance to really get a statement win? We will just explore those things with you coming up. We got Danny Cunningham to dive into the Cavs conversation in the 8 o'clock hour. A lot of good stuff still to come here this morning, and we appreciate you if you're just getting up and tuning us in, listening on along, on your way to work or otherwise. We talked about Paul DePodesta and him getting potentially phased out of this organization. Maybe that is the move that the Browns end up making here at the end of the season to sort of signal we've made change and we're doing some things differently. Sitting here today, I don't know I can't say for certain that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are not safe, but I also can't tell you that they're both totally safe. If one has to stay and one has to go, who do you trust more to sort of be part of the solution rather than the problem for this organization moving forward?
Listen, I'm gonna be honest. I haven't figured it out. It's like going through the stages of grief. I flip flop every single day. One day I'm mad at Stefanski. It's like a kid going through a divorce from his parents. It's my mom. One day it's my dad. And one day I don't like neither one of them. It's difficult because, and let me explain why. When you look at what the Cleveland Browns have done from a drafting standpoint, they have not done a good enough job at the marquee positions to find young talent and develop that talent. Now, you look at positions like we've been trying to find a defensive end opposite of Myles Garrett for how long? Can't do it. We've been trying.
Well, they finally did it with Za'Darius Smith the last couple of years as a free agent. It seems like they're basically in like a rent a pass rusher program. Every offseason they just go get a guy and hope that it works.
We can go back to Emmanuel Ogba. We can go back to Olivier Vernon. You can go back to the Jadeveon Clowney.
Yep.
It's the same move. It's just these are just Jag older guys. You haven't found no young dude that is like, okay, that's a guy. Also, you still haven't identified a quarterback. You don't have one of those. So if you look at the marquee positions, you take a look at corner, quarterback, left tackle, defensive end, receiver. They go get veteran receivers or trade for receivers. They have not developed one of them, and that's a problem. You look at Denzel Ward. Hey, look, I like Denzel Ward. He's a concussion away from not playing, I guess. But they didn't draft him. That was Dorsey.
Yeah.
You got Martin Emerson in the first round. That was a swing and a miss.
Can we say that for sure, though?
Greg Newsome?
Greg Newsome is, I think, a good player, but I don't know that he's a first round. Like, they used a first round pick on him. I don't know if he's a first round talent.
I feel Greg Newsome. Here's how I know.
I'll say this on Martin Emerson real quick, because he has one good year, one bad year.
Did I say Emerson?
Yeah, you did.
No, you meant Newsome.
I meant Newsome.
Sorry.
I got you. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that makes more sense. I think Martin Emerson is going to be okay in the long run.
Martin Emerson, for where they picked him at the third round.
Yeah. He's having a down year, but I think has a chance to still be a good player.
He's to me better than Greg Newsome, which is, you know, I guess it evens out. If you swing and miss on a first round pick, and then you get a third round pick to replace him. The Jed Wills pick was just disgusting.
That's the most egregious one for Barry, obviously.
Good gracious. It's so bad that they had to just sit him down. Like, we all seen the memes on the internet.
This is the first time he got benched. Like, legitimately, like, he was healthy and somebody else is starting over him, which tells you he's probably not. I mean, I don't think at this point there's any way he's back next year.
So you go and you say that's Andrew Berry, right? But you go to Kevin Stefanski. I think Kevin Stefanski gets the benefit of the doubt from the Browns fan base because he has awards attached to his name, right? However, if you go look at what this is, if you draft a quarterback, right, are you excited about a young quarterback in Kevin Stefanski's system at this point?
If it's the right one, yeah. Because I do think Kevin Stefanski has given us proof and evidence, like proof of concept, that he can get the most out of a quarterback and that system can really thrive. Now, he's done it with sort of like these oddball players at this point, right? It's been Jacoby Brissett looked maybe the best he's looked in his career when he was filling in before Deshaun came in. Joe Flacco in the tail end of his career, but even though he's now, I guess his career's revived now. And then obviously we saw Jameis that game 2 weeks ago where he was lighting it up in his first start. So I'm not trying to say like he can't do it with other young quarterbacks. It just has to be the right young quarterback that can fit that system.
So here's the strikes against Kevin Stefanski. You've had the best two quarterbacks with the most talent, Deshaun Watson and Baker Mayfield, did not work under your tutelage.
Well, I think Baker worked that first year together because that was the best year of his career until last year.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing. If you see Baker Mayfield and you had an opportunity to coach him 2 years, why did you make the evaluation that he was not good enough to play?
Well, that's what's funny about that, G. Bush, is like that then goes into the conversation about who really pushed the idea of pursuing Deshaun Watson in the first place, right? Because if Kevin Stefanski wasn't necessarily the biggest advocate for it, and he was more so like, I'll just do what I'm told, and it was more ownership and Andrew Berry and maybe Paul DePodesta urging them to go get Deshaun Watson because he thought he maybe could still make it work with Baker, then how do we know, how can we put that on Kevin Stefanski? Now, we do know at this point, Garrett, that it sounds like a lot of the issues with Baker Mayfield were centered around like maturity. Like they didn't think he was mature enough to be like the leader of this team. And so that's a different conversation. 3-4 years later, he's clearly evolved as a person and now he's doing great things again. And he seems like he's kind of mellowed out in that way.
Your record is your record.
Yeah.
And look, if it's a fair assessment to say, if you were around Baker Mayfield and you felt he wasn't mature enough to take the team where it is, if I'm Jimmy Haslam, I say, listen, I hired you. I let you make that decision. You guys said in a year they needed to make a decision on whether a long-term answer or not. Y'all said, no, we're going to go ahead and we're going to go after Deshaun Watson, right? So they go after Deshaun Watson, right? And they still didn't get it done with Deshaun Watson. And even up to the last point, in the last second, they were still saying Deshaun Watson gave them the best chance to win football games. Now, if you're on record saying that, I have a problem being like, okay, well, that's Baker, that's Deshaun Watson. Now I'm going to imagine that if you get Cam Ward, who kind of plays a little like Deshaun Watson, or Shedeur Sanders, who kind of fits a mold of a playmaker who tries to extend plays, am I going to go out and draft those guys and put them in your system when we've seen quarterbacks who are playmakers or want to extend plays do not play well? That means you got to take those two guys off the board, and you might only be getting the third or fourth best quarterback in the draft.
Like Quinn Ewers or something like that, that is a very fair sort of debate to have, and it's why we could talk ourselves in circles about this on and on again, like who maybe is more responsible, who should be here, who shouldn't. I think sitting here today, because you cited all the draft misses, and some of this, like, I don't want to say I feel for Andrew Berry, but you can give him some grace in understanding, like, they gave him 3 first-round picks. When you're drafting in the third round and on, you're going to have a harder time hitting on guys. So his margin for error has been, like, razor thin, and it's been on his scouts and his department to be able to find the talent and the diamonds in the rough in that way, and they just haven't done it. I think that's been more egregious. Like, with Kevin, it feels like we've seen the results at least. So, yeah, like, if they identify the right quarterback, I trust Kevin Stefanski more at this point than I do trust Andrew Berry. I think that's where I'm at with it. But I don't know that there's, like, a definite answer, and other people are going to have different dissenting opinions on it, as you and I both have kind of already talked about.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.